You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now offering a weekend basketball bonus. Place four $50 basketball bets, and regardless of your outcome, you will get a free $50 bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $25,000 with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And of course, make sure you download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Yeah. All right, welcome to the College Baseball Experience. I'm your host, Noah Bienick. You can follow me on Twitter at 77NB. I'm hosting a solo podcast episode today because my partner, normally Colby Dant, you can follow him at the Colby D on Twitter. He's running around with his head cut off, recording four podcast episodes a day. He's doing college basketball episodes. He's doing conference tournament episodes with the Sports Gambling Podcast. And he's also doing USFL podcasts. So he's giving me the keys to the College Baseball Experience podcast. But I have to address the elephant in the room right now. My Michigan Wolverines lost in a game to his East Carolina Pirates, 10-8. We hit a grand slam in the ninth inning, but I feel like since it's a gambling podcast, we didn't really officially have a bet for that game. I feel like we should have because I was pretty confident in my Wolverines going into it. I thought we were going to start Cam Weston, but it turned out we started Weston against Maryland. We beat Maryland, so that's all that matters, I guess, but we lost to East Carolina. So I guess to punish myself, I'll do his intro, okay? Let's see how well I can do it. Welcome to the College Baseball Experience. I'm your host, Colby Dent, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick. Somebody knows nothing. Nobody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee. Okay, that's about it. Okay. Packed episode today that I want to get into real quick. I'm special, I guess. I just need to name segments. And I don't know. I'm going to take you through the batting order, I guess, of today's podcast. Hold on. Let me get some pump-up music because we're announcing our starters of the game, all right? Here's the batting order of today's podcast. First, we will review last week's lineup card of bets that I gave out for Friday's slate. Then, we will recap the weekend to the best of our ability. Then, I will tell you guys how I got myself into a personal predicament on Twitter. Then, the main event of today's podcast episode, we have an interview with Ryan, aka Bush League Bets. We're going to be reviewing the Shriners Children's College Classic. Then, after the interview, a short Q&A of Twitter questions that you guys asked me, email questions that you sent to me, DMs that I received. I don't know how long that episode or segment's going to be. We're going to see how long this episode is. I might cut that short. Then we'll get to the midweek lineup card of the bets that I see and will like or just advise you, hey, stay away from this game or take this game. And then we will bring in the closer to end the podcast. Let's go. All right. So in review of last week's lineup card, Let me pull up my notes real quick. We started off with East Carolina. I told you guys I wasn't very confident in East Carolina winning games 2 and 3 because I thought there was no starting pitchers out yesterday or Thursday afternoon when we recorded. So I didn't know who was going to start against East Carolina. I was assuming that each team was going to throw their number one against the best team in the tournament. That was not the case. Everybody threw their number one on Friday, which typically happens. But when you have one big program like East Carolina has established themselves to be, I thought, you know what, they might face everybody's Friday night starters. And especially with the two Big Ten teams, they threw their Friday night starters in a non-conference game against each other. It's a little bit weird to me. But East Carolina got that win. They also got two more wins. They beat Michigan, like I already mentioned, and they beat Maryland. So that was the first game that we gave out. The second game was in the Shriners Baseball Classic. I told you guys to pick UCLA. I was wrong. Baylor came out. Thomas threw like 8 innings of basically perfect baseball. You couldn't have asked anything better for the Bears to start that tournament. So he looked really good. And the Bears actually went 2-1. We talked about them a little bit in the interview as well with Ryan. Then I told you guys to put LSU in a parlay against LSU in a parlay against Oklahoma. They beat Oklahoma in extra innings in what was probably the best baseball game so far this year. And yes, baseball game, not just college baseball. We haven't seen a lick of pro baseball. Apparently they're putting another deadline on to see if they can get regular season games in. Good luck. The players don't seem to be budging. The owners don't seem to be budging. I'm going to be enjoying this college baseball thing for a little bit while longer. Then I told you guys to take Texas in the nightcap against Tennessee. I told you Tennessee's bats, they're electric as hell, but they hadn't really faced true competition like Texas and Pete Hansen. And they went out there and I think they won 7-2. That was the score. Then my brain fart of the week, I told you guys to take Florida game one with Hunter Barco on the mound. That was actually the only game that Florida lost in the whole series. I thought with Miami sweeping Florida in the series last year to open up last year's season, Florida was only going to win their game with the ace on the mound. That was not the case. Their young arms came out and showed out, and they won game three handily. The next one, I told you that I was going to take Georgia all three games against Georgia Tech because I thought there was going to be some value there. Each game, Georgia Tech, where Georgia was like a plus 110, plus 115, plus 125 dog. I took them every game, lost the first two games, but Georgia pulled it out in game three for me. Then this one was a great series. Mississippi State, I told you I was going to lock them game one. What did they do? They came out and shit on Tulane. They beat them 17-2 in game one. Game two was looking like it was going to be the same thing. They came out of the gates, blitzed Tulane again, up 8-0, and Tulane comes all the way back. They tie the game up. And I tweeted this. This was actually my most liked tweet of the week. Tulane baseball actually liked it. So thank you for the attention, guys. Tulane, with one out in the bottom of the ninth, hits a deep fly ball to right center field. The Mississippi State right fielder catches the ball. And it wasn't like a lollygag throw either. He throws it to the cutoff man. The typical tag, it was bases loaded. The typical tag from third base, he scores no problem. They also tagged the runner from second to third. And here's what you do in baseball. You want to throw that ball, if you're the right fielder, to your second baseman or shortstop who's cutting the ball off for a play to go to third base. The guy who caught it was in the second base position. I don't know if it was the first baseman or the second baseman, but he was in the wrong spot. The guy that tagged up from second to third, he turned the corner and went home and tied the game up. And I was like, Tulane, the Mean Green are running the base pass like maniacs, and I mean it in a good way because nobody ever tags up for two bases to let alone tie the game. Then they go on and they win the game on a walk-off solo shot. That was hell of a game two. And then game three, they came out and took the series against Mississippi State. Hold on. Let me get a drink of water. The main storyline out of that series, though, is that Landon Sims started shaking his forearm in game one. He went through 4 1/3 innings. He struck out 10 of the 11 batters he faced to start the game, and he started shaking his forearm after the 11th batter. And that's never a good sign when you're a baseball fan to see the face of college baseball entering this season, the number one starting pitcher, likely going out for the season with some type of elbow injury. I'll get more into that when I get into a weekend recap, because that's the number one story that I have. But yeah, that happened in the first game. Surprisingly, Mississippi State got up and they crushed Tulane. Typically, like, both teams are down because of that, because nobody likes to see a player of that caliber get injured early in the game. It normally wrecks the mojo, but the Bulldogs seem to have gotten up for their star starter in that game. The next games series that we went over was Oregon State against UC Irvine. And I told you I liked Oregon State every game of the series, but I only told you guys to put them in a parlay, or like build a parlay around them in game one for Friday's podcast. And then I said I'd see where the weekend takes us. I believe they won games one and two and lost game three. That happens in a series. You don't sweep everybody in the world. The next one on Friday, I only picked Ole Miss. I did not tell you to play Ole Miss, not tell you to bet them. Ole Miss won game one. It was a great game. It was like 8-7. Then game two goes into extra innings, and it's like 0-0 in the 11th, 12th inning. And UCF hits a walk-off home run to win that game. Amazing. Shout out to Pat Fisher. We'll get into that when I said we have a D-Gen dugout segment coming up. the next series, I actually got this one wrong pretty also. Oklahoma State, I told you it was a lock to win game one. They didn't win a game this series. They only played three games. They didn't play four. I told you the fade, the winner of game two on Friday. They didn't play two games on Friday. I don't know what happened. The schedule said they were playing four. I don't know what happened there. They only played three. Oklahoma State got swept. Gonzaga came out with, like I told you, one of the best rotations on the West Coast, and just mowed the Cowboys down in Stillwater. We'll touch on that more later as well. North Carolina. I got this one right. Stapled that right on the forehead. I told you I was going to lock North Carolina in game one and probably look to play them in games two and three, depending on the price. I played North Carolina. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw that I locked North Carolina every game of the series. Hit on them. They swept Coastal Carolina. Then the last series, or the second to last series, we had TCU on the road at Kentucky. I told you TCU was a lock in game one. That one lost as well. And I also said, like, we'll see about games two and three. I kind of like TCU in all of them. TCU lost game two and then won game three. The last one, Vanderbilt. I told you I was really nervous about the first game because I figured out how to say his last name too, and Ryan even flexed it as well. Cade Halemanu. Halemanu. It's H-A-L-E-M-A-N-U. I was thinking it was either Halemanu or it's Halemanu, I think. And he had a blister problem on Friday, his scheduled start. He came back and threw on Sunday. So I actually played them the money line on Sunday, and they lost 2-1. So that was a little bit unfortunate, but we said that Vandy would probably win three of the four there. They took off four. So what are you going to do about it? Now let's do our best to recap the whole weekend. And I want to start with some notes that I wrote down for the teams that I provided a College World Series future on, and an article that I wrote back in February. And I think that's how I'm going to start most of these weekend review podcasts, with those teams. Just a little bit of a review. So Mississippi State, Kendall Rogers, the D1 baseball head editor, he is assuming that Landon Sims is done for the year. We're extremely concerned about the Bulldogs now because originally I didn't really like the starting rotation to begin with. I was giving the coaching staff a benefit of track record. I gave them as my eighth pick. To be completely honest with you guys, I only played five of them. My original article actually only included four teams, but they told me, hey, cast a wider net, give out more teams with a paragraph or two sentence or a paragraph or two summary on each team. I don't actually have any money on Mississippi State right now. So I feel a little bit bad if somebody read 2,500 words down and they found Mississippi State. Defending national champions. I like this play a lot. I think they can go back to back. That might not be the case this year. Next, Texas in the Shriners Weekend Classic. Their great weekend rotation showed out, and actually Tanner Witt, who is their third starter, their Sunday starter, he had a little bit of an elbow issue, but it came out that there's nothing really serious. It's just a precautionary scratch. It was last minute though, so it was like 10 minutes before the start. I tweeted out on Twitter, I was like, hey, it's not crazy for you guys to take the money line on UCLA. Texas coming off of a huge win against LSU. UCLA's pitching has looked great to me so far this year. I was like, it is not crazy to fade Texas with this late crushing news that their starter is not going to be starting the game. UCLA won the game 5-1. The highlight of the game, the Hispanic Titanic Ivan Melendez sent a baseball into orbit. I think he hit it probably 450 feet plus. He hit it onto the train tracks in Minute Maid Park, which is crazy. They use metal bats still, dude. That's a hell of a poke. Next, Florida State. They took care of business. They won the weekend series. They lost game three to Cal. Nothing too worried about because Cal did go 3-0 in that MLB4 tournament to start off the year. Oregon State. Now, this is coming straight from Kendall Rogers as well from D1 Baseball. Cooper Jerpy's going to be leading the Oregon State Beavers for quite a little bit here, which is rough news because, like I told you, the offense has played great this year. I wasn't actually really expecting this offense to be too world-beating, and that's exactly what they've been the first 2 weeks. They sort of came back down to earth this weekend against UC Irvine, and UC Irvine's not a bad team in their own right. They were preseason top 25, and they since fell out of it, but they're still right on the cusp of being a top 25 team this year. Their offense didn't put up nearly as many runs as the first two series, and Fennings, their second starter, he will be back at some point, which is originally the guy that I thought, I don't really know much about it. I said that last podcast. I don't know when he's going to be coming back. So it sounds like Fennings is the guy that we might see come late March, early April in conference play. I know they have conference weekend series coming up this weekend, but Fennings is the guy that we're probably going to be seeing first. Coming straight from KR at D1 Baseball. Frisch could be out long-term per his sources. Florida, they're giving me some confidence, man. Like I said, I doubted them in the second and third game against Miami, Florida, and they won both. So I really like where they stand. Timmy Manning was great, and Florida dominated game three against the Hurricanes. East Carolina, they righted the pirate ship. They had four great wins versus four good baseball teams the last four games. yes, they hosted the tournament this weekend and were the home team all three games, but those are still three great wins against Indiana State, who's a capable mid-major, Michigan and Maryland, who are the top two Big Ten teams this year, since Nebraska's kind of struggling out of the gate here. Oh, lastly, NC State, my most confident College World Series future, and I'm still not worried about them. This is a young team, guys. They got, if you don't know, they lost all three games to Northeastern. Northeastern was in the NCAA tournament last year. They're a good squad. They're a good program. There's nothing to worry about here. NC State, the Wolfpack, they're a young, young team. They have many new faces on the squad, like I've previously said. And Tommy Tanks came back down to earth. He went 1-for-12 with a couple of strikeouts here. I made a new soundboard for myself since Colby's not out on it with me. Here's Trace Adkins. That was basically Tommy Tanks this week. I'm still not worried about Tommy either. The dude has a hell of an approach. As a baseball player and former really good hitter of myself, I love his approach. Dude has an extremely wide stance at the plate, and he has power to all fields. How does he get that power to all fields, you ask? He doesn't get beat by fastballs. His approach is to take the fastball the other way, and he crushes off speed. What was Northeastern doing this week? They noticed that he was sitting off speed in the first two series here. They challenged him with inside fastballs, and they beat his bat to the plate, basically. With that approach from Tommy, he will get beat on some fastballs, but I'm not worried about it. He's a freshman. He should be able to adjust come ACC play. And this team isn't just Tommy, guys. They have one of the most feared ACC rotations, and they have Chris Villeman out of the pen to close out games in postseason play. He's not going to close out every regular season game, but come postseason play, I really like the pitching staff. Okay. I want to touch on some top mid-majors here. Tulane, they had a ballsy week, taking 2-3 versus Mississippi State. Gonzaga, they're a national player this year. They just swept Oklahoma State in three games in Stillwater. They have elite pitching. Like I said, I love Will Kempner. I'm a funky delivery guy myself. This dude's coming out of three quarters, and he's touching triple digits on the Cowboys. That's insane. Houston Baptist, they have high-level pitching. Their head coach, Lance Berkman, former Astros star. They beat Sacramento State, who we talked about last podcast. They beat Sac State 3 out of 4 games this weekend. Good weekend from Houston Baptist. And if you follow the trickle-down effect, wherever you may apply that, Sac State has now beat Houston Baptist has now beat Sac State. Sac State's beat Long Beach State. Long Beach State beats Mississippi State. What we have is a big old clusterfuck, and that's why we love college sports. Bryant got swept again, so that's two straight weekend series where Bryant got swept after sweeping East Carolina. So those might be three really, really bad losses for the Pirates, but like I said, they're coming on now. They've found their groove. Long Beach State has lost 6 in a row since their series win against Mississippi State. UCF, David Litchfield has been great in the rotation, transitioning from the pen. That's what I wrote down. They won his game in the second game of the series against Ole Miss. Some people could argue that they could have won the series. That first game, when it gets the high scoring, like I said in the last podcast, UCF's a great pitching team, and if a team scores 4 or 5 on them, I kind of favor the other team just because their bats are good enough to at least do that on them, I guess. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm kind of stumbling and mumbling here. Texas State won the last two games of the three-game set against Arizona. I actually made and released parlays with Arizona and Tennessee, both in them on Saturday and Sunday, and Arizona dropped their leg on both days. It was really disappointing, but I respect Texas State now, so that's one thing. Southern Miss, they had a great week. They won versus Mississippi State in the midweek. And then they went 2-3 against Louisiana. I actually, I bet Louisiana as an underdog to beat Southern Miss on Friday night because, you know, Southern Miss coming off of that huge win against Mississippi State. That hit. I hope you followed that. UCLA, they have great young arms. Hurd, Treadwell, Jewett, Kenny Oyama, he's the leadoff hitter of their team. He already has 12 stolen bases this season. And Carson Yates was amazing this week. He had two very, very clutch hits that won games, in my opinion. Ole Miss, they had a great road test in UCF. We knew they were going to hit. I was actually pretty impressed with their pitching this week. UCF, not an amazing offensive team, but still you can come away with positives in that series. Kentucky won 2-3 versus TCU, and they're now 10-2. They were very surprising to me, but they typically beat up on teams early in the season, and then they get beat up in the SEC East. This was a good series win against a quality top 25 TCU team. I now have my eye on Kentucky. Notre Dame, they're 8-1, and they ran over weak tournament competition this weekend. Still, I'm not really sold on Home Run Jesus. Clemson, they're underrated with balance. The bullpen is their strength. They have some offensive stars. I'm actually going to fade them here in the midweek lineup card when we get to there. North Carolina, they're going to be a legit contender in the ACC, guys. I wasn't sold on their rotation coming into the preseason, and that's why I didn't really consider them as a future, but with great competition and wins against East Carolina and Coastal Carolina on the weekends, their defense looks great with a really good bullpen. They're going to be good. I look to be tailing them a lot this year. Lastly, in our recap, Baylor. They had an impressive weekend as well. After getting swept by Maryland, they won against UCLA and LSU this weekend. And I bet Baylor as an underdog against LSU on Sunday night. So that one felt really great too. Funny story. How did I get myself into a predicament, a personal predicament? My buddy, I played travel ball with him since I was 10. We played 11U. We were both 10 years old at the time. We played when we were 10, and then we kind of went our own ways. My dad was the coach, and he went to a tournament-only team where we played league games as well. They wanted to play like 8-9 tournaments a year where we only played like 5, but we played like 30 regular season games. So it was a mutual respect when he left. I still liked the kid, but I went to school with him and I played high school ball with him as well. And on Oakland University's baseball roster. And yes, Oakland University is not in California, guys. It is in Oakland, Michigan. It's like 20 minutes from my house. On their roster, the dude's listed as 5'8". Ian, I'm sorry if you listen to this. The last time I checked, the last time we saw each other in person, I had a good inch, maybe two on you. But I mean this with all due respect. Major, major props. My man hits a grand slam in the third game against Marshall. And I'm like, this is a hell of a moment. They got like a little video of him running the bases. They didn't get his contact, which kind of disappointing. But they got the video at the end and then his teammates celebrating around him. I was like, this is sweet. I'm going to tweet it out. So I put out a good message and I know Cleary, I was like, he's a great hitter. I wasn't expecting him to do this though. So he did that in the eighth inning, I believe it was. And he put his team up. He put the Golden Grizzlies up 13-10 or no, it was 10-9. He put him up. Then in the bottom of the ninth, Marshall wins on a 3-run home run to win 13-10. He then comes back. It was a doubleheader. Comes back in the first inning, batting leadoff, home run. Oakland University Baseball comments on my post that I had like wrote out a message on the Grand Slam for. And they go, you wouldn't believe it. Ian Cleary has gone deep again. And I'm like, oh, oh, oh my God. Like, I think I retweeted it. Like, very cool that he goes deep again, but I wrote the message the first time. So again, follow this kid at IanCleary55, but wait, he's not done. He goes deep again for the third time. And I'm like, dude has hit 3 home runs today. I write out another message and I'm like now blasting the kid all over everybody's Twitter feeds because he goes deep 3 times. I tag my travel ball team. I tag my high school team to get him some more love. What do you know? The kid goes deep a 4th time in the same day. And I was like, dude, I can't keep making tweets for this. So I just tweeted out, I'm an official Ian Cleary stan Twitter account now, but that's where we currently stand. And I'm kind of rambling on, running long here. So let's get to this, the D-Gen dugout. What is the D-Gen dugout? Well, I'm trying to grow a Twitter brand for the College Baseball Experience and for myself. And I'm going to do it around you guys, the fans. And I figured, why not create something and then in like really cool electric Twitter clips, I'll tag our super fans. And I'm calling it the D-Gen dugout. So like everybody is in the dugout. And when it's your turn to bat, when there's a huge highlight, I'll tag you, let you know that your team did something sweet and you can promote us. And then we get you a little bit of hype if the tweet blows up because you're a fan of the team. Some people might follow you. It's going to be pretty sweet if it works out the way I think it will. So part of the D-Gen dugout so far, I have Colby, East Carolina, obviously, me, Michigan, obviously, Patty C. I'm associating him with James Madison in Virginia for now. NC Nick, he's also going to be associated with George Mason and Duke for now. Honkus, LSU, Patrick Fisher, UCF, Dryden, Oregon State, Ryan, aka Bush League Betts. We have an interview coming up with him in a few minutes. He's part of Arizona State's fan club, basically. Huge baseball guy. You'll get to hear his knowledge bleed through the podcast here. Great, great interview. And then Jong, he's in the Slack channel, huge D-Gen of the Sports Gambling Podcast himself. He's a big UCLA guy, I know that. And hey, let's throw Ryan Kramer in here as Virginia Tech. And Sean Green, I actually don't know much about Sean and his college association. He's a huge Nova basketball fan, and he had a future on Lehigh basketball. So hey, we'll give him the Philly colleges for now. But before we get into this interview, right now is the perfect time to bet on basketball, and WinBet is helping you cash. Basketball parlay bonus, all users can receive a $10 free bet when they lose or push a $20 four-leg parlay or basketball between Monday and Thursday. Weekend bonus plays, all users can receive a $50 free bet when they lose or when they win, lose, or push 4 $50 bets on Saturday and Sunday basketball games. Holy shit. Weekend bonus play can be used toward all the upcoming college basketball action as well as the NBA. And for new WinBet casino customers, they're now offering a 100% first deposit match up to $1,000. That's right, 100% deposit match up to $1,000. StableDuel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Get it? Runs. The best part, now there is a new way to play the ponies, especially if you are brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $25,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Don't worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or against other stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode actually can protect? Oh, IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why we use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing your speed, your computers, tablets, or phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, you don't want to go without IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. PropSwap, brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells their sports bets. March Madness is around the corner, and PropSwap is your place to cash in on the big dance. Every season, PropSwappers make thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Like Gil from New Jersey, who purchased a Murray State Championship ticket on PropSwap at 225-1, while sportsbooks are only offering 150-1. Now is the time to find those Cinderellas. The odds are very high, and cash out on PropSwap when the tourney starts. When you're making your bets, remember to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to let it ride. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. Also, don't forget, download the SGPN app. It is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you all easy access to all of our picks and podcasts. Don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today. Oh my God, I am dying of thirst with my throat right now. A lot of reading. I'm sorry to all the brands that we advertise to. I'll do better. I'll get better. This is my first solo podcast. I'll get better. I promise you guys. Without further ado, here is Ryan, a.k.a. Bush League Bets.
Yes, I have a new guest on the podcast. You can find him in the Slack channel on Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Bush League Bets, a.k.a. Ryan. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you? I really appreciate you guys having me on. I love the show and definitely love the Slack channel, man.
I'm doing great, dude. I love all your participation in it. You can find all of his research, his opinions on different games. And best part, I think he does is he creates like a whole Word document of every probable pitcher. It really comes in clutch for the guys that can't do the research and are willing to throw some money down on a certain game. So, Ryan, without further ado, I'm bringing you in here because you were in Houston in first person for the Shriners Children's Classic. It was. Man, how was it? What was your favorite moment of the weekend?
It was great, man. I was fortunate enough to go down there with some buddies. We stayed for all 9 games. It was a good time. The best baseball moment was definitely the Thompson walk-off home run. We'll go over that in a little bit. So I'll go with the best personal slash story that happened to me at the game. Saturday night game, Texas versus LSU, the big shebang. Douglas Hodo, leadoff batter for Texas, center fielder. Not a big home run guy, slugging percentage 400, a get on base OBP slash hitter. Hits a bomb. Texas fans are going absolutely nuts, but there are, 6 or 7 people right in front of us that are going, a little bit more crazy than a normal fan would after a 3-run homer, like high-fiving, hugging crazy. We ask, are you guys family, all that good stuff? Yeah, we absolutely are. We're from Houston. This is a homecoming for him. He had a bomb.
Wow.
It was good stuff. The dad actually sent his 2 brothers, who were about high school age, 16, 17 years old, to go retrieve the ball from a Texas fan. Offered them $100. And when they came back, they had the ball and they got the $100. And he said he wanted signed batting gloves for his son. So that was the deal. But it was pretty cool. And, you love to see those moments in college baseball. That was really special.
Cool story. Being a baseball player myself, honestly, I never got to hit one. I was more of a contact drive it to the gaps guys, but all my buddies that hit them, we went to a huge tournament in Cooperstown, and that's a huge thing. You hit your first home run in Cooperstown, you go grab that ball. It's a cool memory to have. And I'm sure that could have been his first career home run, but if it's not his first career home run, first career college home run, if that's not the case, it's probably his first career home run in a big league stadium, which is very cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah. It was cool. And it was his first of the season. I didn't check career stats, but it was a good moment for them.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start with Friday. There was one game I didn't get to watch. And of course, guess what? That was the best game that you had already gotten to, man. Oklahoma, LSU, they went to extra innings. Where were you sitting and what were you thinking throughout the game?
So we were actually sitting in the Crawford boxes for that game. We only sat in the Crawford boxes one game the entire weekend, and that was it. It was an Oklahoma win that slipped away. Jake Bennett was absolutely filthy. He completely dominated this game up until the 7th inning where they scratched across a run on him. I think coach got a little flustered, knew he had a lead on a ranked team and a chance to, start off the tournament pretty well. Gave him the yank with 88 pitches. I think it was a little bit too soon. Bennett's going to be a major league arm soon. And I think this really slipped away and got away quickly from the Oklahoma bullpen. The LSU bats are never out of it. And it was a huge walk-off win for them. It was an electric atmosphere, dude. It was so cool, that walk-off home run. But this really was the one that got away for Oklahoma.
Yeah, man. Just looking at the box score after, and Wheels on YouTube, you get to see all those cut highlights from it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Electric scene. Just amazing, dude. And how close were you so you said that you were in the Crawford boxes. How close were you to catching that home run?
Yeah, we were about one section to the right of them. So it was awesome. We thought we had a chance at it for a second, but it was a cool moment. It was the best moment of the weekend, baseball wise, for sure. Crowd was going nuts. And it looked like it was going to be, LSU definitely outside of Texas, because they were the home team pretty much. LSU had the most fans there for sure, and they're making a lot of noise, and I figured it'd be a good weekend for them, but not necessarily the case.
Gotcha. Nice. Yeah. I mean, that third game for them, that was a little bit of an upset, but I was all over it. That was one of my plays that I gave out on Saturday.
You were on Baylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you were on Baylor. That last game, we actually, we took the over. We didn't play it on Twitter. We did take the over. So that was nice. We knew Baylor was going to be in with a little bit of a tax bullpen. So
Yeah.
And they hit the ball well too.
Yeah. It was the whole play, just extra inning emotional victory for LSU. And also in the Oklahoma game, the first 3 or 4 innings that I got to see, and just the main games, their defense seems to be kicking it around a little bit too much for me. And it was very evident in Baylor. What'd you think?
Yes. LSU's defense is an issue, and they're, starting pitching's there. Blake Money, I'm sold on him. After seeing him pitch, I'm sold on he could be an ace for them.
Yeah.
The other two are questionable. They really are. Bullpen's very questionable, and they definitely booted around. You really nail that in the head, and that's definitely their Achilles heel so far.
Yeah, man. Tough scene for a fellow D-gen in the dugout, Honkus, for us. He's a huge Tigers fan.
Oh, yeah. Shout out.
Saturday night, the juice box was packed with 24,000 plus for that game between Texas and LSU. What was the atmosphere like? Where were you sitting for that specific game, and how was that experience?
That was just awesome. I've been fortunate enough to go to Omaha, and that had that kind of vibe. It was shoulder to shoulder. They actually opened up the second deck just for that specific game, and that was full too. So it was just really cool. Both fans were, they were chippy from the beginning. They don't exactly love each other, the fan bases. So even before the game even started, there was some jawing, and it was just a big game feel. Texas ended up running away with it, but it was something else. And it was really, really big for the sport, and it was really, really cool to see. And it'll probably be one of the bigger, if not the biggest, attended game this year, I'm assuming, outside of Omaha.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm assuming as well. So as you leave Houston, good or bad, what's your biggest takeaway for a specific unit on a team? Was it a school stuttering rotation, bullpen, batting lineup, or their defense? I know you went to every game, all nine. By the way, how much were the ticket prices for all nine?
So it was $45 for three days total. So
3 days total, you only paid 45?
Yep, for general admission. You can pay, it was up to like 65 to sit behind a dugout or whatnot, but it was really cheap, and it was, definitely affordable. That's for sure.
So what's your biggest takeaway for a unit that we should be looking forward towards this season?
Yeah. So I was very, very impressed with UCLA's pitching staff. Starting pitching and bullpen. Game one, their only loss, they went 2-1, obviously beat Texas on Sunday. Jake Brooks went 8 innings, 2 earned, and a 2-1 loss, really tough loss. Kelly Austin steps up as their number 3 on Sunday, beats the number 1 team in the nation with 8 strikeouts. He was electric, filthy stuff.
Yeah, man, his one ding was just the majestic
Melendez.
From Melendez. Holy crap.
Yeah, he make one mistake to that guy, and that's a different story. Yeah. He was nasty. They have a midweek freshman. His name is slipping my mind right now, but he can step up in a role too for them. And interesting stat that I saw, their bullpen did not let up a single run in 3 games this weekend. Alonzo Treadwell is a pretty elite reliever / closer for them. He had a 3-inning save against Texas. And, if you're not going to score too many runs against them, I'm a little bit concerned about their offense, but that pitching staff is going to be, a tough out coming to the postseason.
Man. Throughout the last 10 years, UCLA's pitching has just kind of been oozing talent with both Trevor Bauer and Garrett Cole in that 1 year. I mean, just plenty of examples that go along that are in major league farm systems. So yeah, guys, Ryan is giving out college baseball bets daily on Twitter. You can follow him at bets_Bush. All of us Twitter experts, we have great hits, but we also have tickets that we just want to crumple up and throw away after like the first 2 innings that we place them. What was your best call of the weekend? And did you have a worst?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So my best bet of the weekend was actually my last bet I made. It was the Sunday night Vandy Hawaii under 13.5. I know you sprinkled Hawaii, which I really loved, and they almost got it done for you.
Yeah, man.
But Cade Helamanu is an absolute stud. He's a legitimate MLB prospect. He got pushed back with a blister issue, and it was just way too many runs. Mm. Final score was 2-1. So that was one of my best hits. But I did get smoked. That happens. So my worst bet of the weekend, I was feeling good after a 7-1 day, and I threw down on +130 Oklahoma money line. They should have beat LSU. I thought they were going to bounce back. UCLA couldn't hit worth crap the day before against Baylor. Didn't factor in the hangover. So they got smacked 15-3. So that was a terrible start to my Saturday. So yeah, a little bit of good and bad. Did you have a big winner?
Yeah, I did have both for myself as well. On the podcast, all the listeners know, I actually called it game for game for North Carolina, Coastal Carolina. I was like, I'm locking Tar Heels every game 1 through 3 here. I'm not quite buying into the competition that Coastal's played so far. A couple of MAC teams, West Virginia. So I was like, UNC's coming off of a loss with East Carolina, and then they played a good team midweek. And I was like, I really like the momentum UNC's taken into this series here. So I took UNC every game there, and then Florida, Miami, and I call myself a big Florida fan, but I got every game in that series wrong. I was like, Hunter Barco is going to win his start. He's going to go 6, 7, 8 strong. He should have won his start. Miami wins against Florida. They kind of just keep steady with Florida in that game, and then they take it late innings. And then Florida goes out and beats Miami in games 2 and 3, where I was like, you know, Florida's rotation's young. I don't see anybody stepping up right now, but as the season goes along, I think both arms just get more experience. Yep. And I was like, I think Miami unfortunately takes game 2 and 3, and they swept us the year before too. So I was like, I really don't have any confidence going into the series. Well, it went exactly. So
I was at Miami on Sunday as well. I really thought they were in a pretty good spot, and
So, before I let you go, Ryan, AKA Bush League Bets, follow him on Twitter at @Betts_Bush. Before I let you go, Calvin Ridley, I don't know if you saw the news today, but he's getting, unfortunately, suspended for a year from the NFL because he was betting on NFL games when he was taking his mental unwellness leave when he was on non-injured IR. It came out that he was gambling on the NFL, and he actually was betting on the Falcons in like 3, 5, 8 team parlays. First of all, when you bet the Falcons in parlays, not a very high chance of the Falcons winning. And then when you're betting an 18 parlay, you're not really going to win many of those anyways. So if you could tell Calvin Ridley, because he tweeted out, I only bet $1,500. I don't have a gambling problem. Well, I'm sure all of us would love one $1,500 bet.
Yes.
If you could tell anyone, and that rumor is he was using FanDuel Sportsbook. So FanDuel Sportsbook doesn't have daily lines. They only get College World Series futures. If you could tell one FanDuel user, one, two, maybe a long shot to win the College World Series, who would that be?
Sure. Yeah. I called up Ridley before the show. I'm like, hey, man, you got to stop doing the parlays, and we got to stop putting all of our eggs in one basket. So I'm spreading him with 3 picks here. 2 favorites and an underdog. I got Texas.
Who can't
Sorry.
Have Texas.
Eat. Yeah. Just, I'm going to go ahead and just eat chalk and chow down on it. They are a wagon. They are sold after this weekend. It's the pitching, it's the defense, and it's the Melendez. It's simple enough. That team's going to go deep. Another pick, Tennessee. They moved up from 16 to 10. Another team I got to watch closely this weekend. That team does not get a single blue pit. They just barrel everything. And that is, there's not one sheep out in that lineup. And with their pitchers all throwing over 95 miles an hour, and they got guys coming out of the pen hitting 101, it's just going to be tough. They're going to be playing really good competition all year. They're going to be getting challenged. They're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, man. Tennessee's electric. They earn every hit. Like you said, they earn every hit they get. Yep. You should have bought stock in Tony Vitello a long time ago.
Absolutely. Amazing coach. And then a long shot, another team that's well coached, Gonzaga, you know, a little bit of a riding high moment, but I did post on my Twitter 2 weeks ago that I did like him as a long shot. But does it help that they swept Oklahoma State this weekend? Absolutely.
100%.
Definitely a little bit, but this is a really good team, and they have a clear shot to win their conference, and you know, keep getting hot enough and hang around, they could potentially host, and that can get them into a super. So just like that, anything can happen in that series. And they have, like you said, really good pitching. They just shut down a very good hitting Cowboys team. So
100%, dude. Listeners know I've been kind of harping on Gonzaga the last 2 weeks. I didn't respect them going in the OSU Cowboys series, just being it's in Stillwater, but very good statement sweeping them. So thank you for coming on, man. Again, follow them at @Betts_Bush. Anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
No, man, just, I really, really appreciate it, and keep sending out highlights on Twitter and all that good stuff, and keep growing this beautiful game, because it's going to be taken off with the MLB down, and, you're doing a good job. So keep it up.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. It means a ton.
Sure. Have a great day. You too. Thanks, man.
Wow. That was one hell of an interview. Ryan knows his stuff, and I'm so jealous of him that he has buddies willing to take huge trips and go to big college baseball tournaments to see 9 games. They went and saw all 9 games. That is something in itself, in its own right. It's hard to sit through 3-hour baseball games for the whole day. He was there from noon Eastern to midnight Eastern, basically. That is amazing. Like I said, very jealous of the dude. I wanted to do a short Q&A. I'm going to make it very, very short for you guys. I'm sorry. I had a whole list of all the questions that I received in the DMs and comments section on Twitter. I'm just going to get to the most popular off the top of my head. First one, why do I refer to myself as 77 and put it on my Twitter profile? And that's my tag on Twitter. 77 was my number playing sports growing up. I played, whether it was baseball, hockey, I played basketball. We didn't really get to choose our numbers. Same with soccer. I played a little bit of soccer and I played a lot of high school tennis. I could have went played college tennis as well. But 77 was always my number because my birthday is July 7th. And if you don't know, it's the 7th month, the 7th day. And actually, I was born 7 pounds, 7 ounces. So I was sort of this miracle baby, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, just love the number 7. And it's kind of just attached to me for the rest of my life. So that was the number one asked question. Number two was, how do you figure out pitching matchups when betting on college baseball? It is so frustrating sometimes because you don't know until maybe sometimes 30 minutes before the game. But the best way, and I have to stress this out, I can't stress this enough, the best way to find out starting pitchers is to go to the team Twitter account and then click on, they usually retweet or they tweet it out on their own. Their journalism sports or athletic department puts out a preview of the weekend, or they put out a preview of the midweek, and they'll list the starting pitchers for you. That is the basically only way that you can find out college baseball starting pitchers. Frustrating, I know, but hey, we give and we take, I guess. So those were the top two questions we had asked for us this week. Sorry, I couldn't get to a ton of them, but we're getting into the midweek lineup card, baby. Let's go. So these are the top games of the midweek. Not necessarily all the games that I'm betting. I will give you picks for each one of these because these are like the most watchable games of the midweek. And the midweek is Tuesday, Wednesday. Normally college baseball teams take the Monday and Thursday off. So without further ado, game one on my lineup card, batting leadoff, batting first. North Carolina, 11-1, ranked 15th in D1 baseball's poll, is going on the road to take on number 14, Liberty, who's 10-1, with their only loss of the season coming in the first game against Florida. I'm not going to bet this game, but comparing resumes right now, I lean UNC, but I'm going to stay away. Okay? Game number two, batting second. That first series is a Tuesday, Wednesday, or it's just Tuesday, one game. Oh my God, where am I going? Tuesday, one game, North Carolina Liberty, batting second. A two-game series in Biloxi, Mississippi. They're playing on a minor league field. We got number 17, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. They're 10-2. They're going to play the Mississippi State Bulldogs, number 23 in the country, with a 6-6 record. I will be betting Texas Tech minus 120. I'm going to fade Mississippi State until they show me that they can live up to this top 25 ranking. Not going to lock it, but I like it, and I'm probably going to bet it with the slate looking how it is. I don't have confirmed numbers in front of me for what I'm betting, but for all the games. But for this one right now, I can see minus 120 on DraftKings. Texas Tech is on a 9-game winning streak, including 4 midweek wins versus Dallas Baptist. Batting third, the number one team in all of the land, Texas. They're 11-1. They will take on Texas State. It's a 2-game series and a home and a home. So game one on Tuesday will be played at Texas State. Game two on Wednesday will be played at Texas. I will bet Texas on Tuesday, -330. I'll throw them in a parlay. Yes, I said I respect Texas State, but Texas coming off a loss against UCLA, their first loss of the season. I really like them to bounce back and get a midweek win against Texas State, their in-state little brother. So throw -330 into a three-team parlay or so, but I'm not probably going to have any action on the second game unless Texas wins the game 3-0 and Texas State doesn't show any fight. I'll throw them maybe in a parlay on Wednesday. If Texas blows them out, they probably used a lot of their runs, and this is a thing. Like, you sometimes you score too many runs and then the next day you just don't come out and the bats just aren't working. If it's not a blowout and if Texas State doesn't put up a fight, I might parlay Texas the next day as well. Batting cleanup, number four. Number 21 team in the country, TCU, 8-3 on the year. They're still on this Kentucky little road trip. They're going from Lexington, Kentucky, where they lost 2-3, to Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville's 8-3. Louisville has played weak competition. They have a weak strength of schedule so far, and their last series played was against Akron. And a little news for you guys from a Northern Ball type guy. This is Akron's baseball program's only third year existing. So you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to do this. I'm going to play this. This is my lock music for when I'm doing my solo podcast. This was my walk-up song when I played baseball, guys. I am going to lock up TCU -145. Lock up the Horned Frogs. We're taking the Horned Frogs. They're winning this game. That is a one-game series as well. So just one and done. Locking up TCU. Taking our money and we're running. By the way, that was Bad Boys by Inner Circle. If anybody doesn't know the band or song there, it was the theme song for the show Cops. Batting fifth. We have a two-game series hosted by the number 24 team in the land, the Maryland Terrapins. They're 9-2. They're coming off of a 1-2 weekend with losses against Michigan and East Carolina. They host 3-7 VCU. Maryland entered the weekend 8-0, and they left 9-2. I'm going to parlay them here at home against VCU. VCU is supposed to be pretty good this year, and they have not looked very impressive and didn't really put up a fight against Ole Miss. I'm not comparing Maryland to Ole Miss. Don't take my words and twist them. I'm just saying similar competition-ish. VCU didn't really put up a fight. So Maryland -225 as of right now on DraftKings. We're going to throw them into a parlay. We'll see. I like them in a parlay. Then we have a one gamer batting sixth, number 13 in the country, Georgia Tech. They're 10-2. They go on the road to Mercer, who's 11-1 and one of the best mid majors so far this year. I'm going to take Mercer, the +140 dog. Georgia Tech is 1-1 in midweek games so far against mid-major competition. And Mercer just beat Florida State in the midweek game last week. I like the Bears in this spot, so I'm going to take the +140 with Mercer. Then we get a little bit of Georgia action again. Georgia just came off of the old-fashioned hate series against Georgia Tech. Guess who they get? A two-game series with Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern 6-5, and they play Georgia, which is 9-2, with their only two losses coming to Georgia Tech. The first game is actually going to be played on an indie ball field in South Carolina for some reason. The second game will be played at Georgia. I'm not going to bet either one of these games. Georgia Southern was that team that beat Georgia Tech in the midweek last week, so I'm not going to touch them because Georgia Tech has dealt Georgia both of their losses so far this season. But I like Georgia, and Georgia Southern, still some question marks there. Not a good strength of record. I'm just going to stay away from the game. Might watch that first game in the Indy ball field. That might be pretty cool. Batting eighth, we have a 9-game lineup card. The eighth game on it, 7-3, East Tennessee State hits the road to play the number 19 team in the country. They're 11-0, one of the 5 undefeated teams remaining, the Clemson Tigers. I don't see a line out there right now on DraftKings, but if they release one, which they should, this has typically been the pattern. They only release top 25 games and games to bet on where it was a rivalry game or just two good mid-majors playing against each other. Every marquee matchup they give out, and they don't really give out any other mid-majors. So I'm expecting this one to pop up tomorrow sometime. I will take East Tennessee State plus whatever they give them. Clemson just got off, just left a rivalry sweep against South Carolina. South Carolina's down this year, and they got their fancy new ranking. ETSU competed against Tennessee last week on Tuesday well enough to where I feel comfortable laying plus 350, plus 400. That's where I think this is going to land. I will gamble on East Tennessee State. I don't know if that's going to be on my official card, but I'll give that out for the podcast. And then the last game on the lineup, batting ninth, but surely there are plenty more implications in that Los Angeles office over there. East Carolina, 6-5, coming off a great weekend, winning all 3 games. They go to Virginia Tech, Kramer's team. We have a good old Colby versus Kramer. Virginia Tech 9-1. I can't go against East Carolina. I gave out a College World Series future on them. I like their bats. I like Virginia Tech's bats as well. They railed Wright State in game 3. I think it was 17-1, but also got blitzed by Wright State in game 1 of that series as well. So they're prone to giving up runs and they're prone to score. This one might be a good overplay. If it's like 10, 11, 12, East Carolina's got a great pen and that's why I like them. But Virginia Tech still might score 5 or 6 on them. And East Carolina's going to score 8 or 9 and win the game. East Carolina's found their groove as of late, and they have 2 midweek W's at Campbell and at Duke, 2 very good teams. And I like just the midweek situation right now at East Carolina over Virginia Tech's. So that's going to wrap up the podcast for today and the weekend recap and the midweek lineup card. I hope you guys enjoyed this solo podcast. I'm open to any recommendations or advice you're willing to give me, because as of right now, I'm gasping for air talking by myself, and I screwed up some ads, but I thought the interview with Ryan went great. So let me know how I did my first solo podcast on SGPN. I hope you guys enjoyed. Give us great rating on Apple and Spotify. We'd really appreciate it for the company. And I'll lead you out with, I have a bunch of new sounds now. I don't know what I want to play. Oh, the show goes on. Let's do that. Here we go. No, I open with the show goes on. Here, I'll just exit with Bad Boys with the full chorus. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Thursday night, Friday morning.